Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Let Loose, episode 11. This is Breeders' Cup Look Ahead, edition number 3. We're talking about Saturday, and not just talking about Saturday, the Saturday Pick 6. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you from Keeneland Racecourse, hanging out in one of the offices in the sales pavilion. Don't tell anybody. And I'm very happy to have joining me from elsewhere in this town that we occasionally call Lex Vegas, far from the planet Texas, but still very much at home. He's the people's champion, Jonathan Kinchin. What's up, JK?
BTF, I'm here in the basement of the Prince of Keeneland. I guess this would be the palace then, wouldn't it? The palace in the basement. But
the moat, yeah, it's the moat would be good for you.
There you go. It's right around the corner. So I'm getting ready to get my Breeders' Cup gear. Look at this. I found a chapstick that I've been using because I dropped my normal chapstick in the airport on the floor, and there's no way I was going to pick that up. So I went with the backup.
You don't need to be a Dr. Anthony Fauci to know that that's not a good idea. JK, we had a lot of fun the other day out at Old Friends of those great old Breeders' Cup champions we got to spend the afternoon with, along with Michael Blowen. Who was your favorite?
You know, it's fun. Seeing the Pizza Man was fun. I forgot the Pizza Man and his involvement in my 2015 Tour Championship. I remember I was at Arlington Park when he won the Arlington Million that day, and he was the horse that kind of wrapped up a pick five that helped me win that Hawthorne contest, which was the live score that I was needing to kind of elevate me to the top of the Tour leaderboard. So it was good to see the Pizza Man hanging out with Chicago Breds. Illinois Breds, Chicago hometown hero. So it was fun to see them.
They run deep. Jonathan Kinchin, grammar lesson. A sentence contains a noun, a verb, and a mention of the 2015 NHC Tour Championship. JK, we're going to get to these races in a minute here, but I want to tell folks quickly about this TwinSpires offer code promotion. TwinSpires has a great opportunity, not just for new players, but for current account holders as well. It's the Breeders' Cup Bet Back promotion. Get your bet back if your horse runs second or third in any race on Breeders' Cup Friday or Saturday. Get your bet back up to $20 if your horse runs second, your selection runs third, up to $10 back. You have to opt in, but it's very easy. TwinSpires.com, the offers page, or the offers page through the TwinSpires app. Let's talk about Breeders' Cup Championship Saturday, JK. Do you know, you'll be playing in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge. Do you know which race you're going to really get stuck in? Where do you project to be going all in on Saturday?
Yeah, I could see an all-in play in or out of the Dirt Mile. I think that there's a couple of horses in there that have that thing wrapped up. And so that'll be where my main focus is, will be in and out of that race.
We'll get to talking about that. I know one of the bets you always look forward to, the tremendous success you had last year with the Breeders' Cup Pick 6. This year, it kicks off with the Filly and Mare Turf. I want to know, what's going to be your approach to this? Are you planning on leaning on Euros? Are you planning on leaning on Chad Brown? Do you have another way you're going to go? How do you want to get things kicked off?
Yeah, I think I'm going to lean on Chad mostly here. I'm a big fan of Rushing Fall, what she's accomplished, winning a grade one at 2, 3, 4, and 5. What a great accomplishment for her and her career. She kind of got over that elite hump of getting that grade one Diana. I thought that was a race that she just had to have on her resume, being as talented as she was, being based in New York, being trained by Chad Brown. Just didn't feel right without her getting that Diana at a mile and an eighth. And obviously she loves Keeneland. She's run here 6 times. She's won 5 times. So she appreciates this ground that she'll see. And I love the fact that she's tactical and is going to have a little bit of a target in Mean Mary to be able to sit off of. I think Mean Mary's a quality horse as well. You want to take into consideration. I'll be using both of those horses for sure. And then I know you have some positive things to say about Terrabellum. I'll be using that one as well.
Yeah, Terrabellum makes a lot of sense to me in this spot. I think really classes up well with the group. Looking at some of the speed figures owned overseas, I think she's the one that I want tops of the European contingent. I don't think we're going to see 20-1 in the morning line. If you did, it would be bet of the meat type stuff. I think it's going to probably be more like 8-1 with Frankie Dettori and John Gosden in the corner. I ran into Dettori this morning, and I told him how many of his runners I'm going to be backing over the 2 days of the Breeders' Cup. He seemed pleased, and I said to him, if you have a good weekend, I'm going to have a good weekend. Looking forward to Terrabellum to kick off in this pick six on Saturday. And with that, JK, let's move on to the second race in this sequence. We have the Breeders' Cup Sprint, one of the classic Breeders' Cup races. Race has lost a little bit of its luster with Vekoma coming out a runner. I know you and I were both interested in. What do you do now? How many do you need to get through this leg, and who are you most interested in wagering upon?
Yeah, I'm feeling a little spready in this one. The horses that I like the most, I don't necessarily trust. Those that I like the most, CZ Rocket would be one of them, and also Firenze Fire. I think there's this narrative that Firenze Fire needs Belmont, and although he might appreciate Belmont, he ran well at Saratoga, I thought, running into that slow pace where Volatile was on the lead. So I think that he's a horse that you want to consider. And then Yalpon, I don't necessarily trust him either. It's a three-year-old now facing the olders. We got to see what happens with them. I'm going to be spreading pretty heavily in here. Those are the three that will take a majority of my money. But I'll also probably take a look at possibly Hog Creek Hustle if it falls apart. And also maybe Echo Town in a situation where it falls apart. But those will be B types for me. I think CZ Rocket and Firenze Fire will take a majority of my money.
CZ Rocket for me is the top pick in here. We've talked about it umpteen million times on the shows, how much we like West Coast turf speed. I said turf speed, sprint speed, excuse me, shipping east. CZ Rocket has that. It's looked like a new horse, or looked like his old self, maybe is a better way of saying it, since the barn switch. And I do think, I mean, I take your point about Yalpon, but I think he has the opportunity to boss it on the front end. And then you mentioned the other one I was going to mention too, Hog Creek Hustle, maybe, just maybe, at a huge number if the race ends up coming apart. I think our ideas are pretty similar in this year's Breeders' Cup Sprint, which leads us to the Breeders' Cup Mile, another race where we have a very impressive-looking European contingent. Are you going to lean on the foreigners in this spot, or do you think the home team has a shot?
Yeah, I am going to lean on the foreigners in here, specifically Siskin. We were lucky enough to have Nick Luck on the podcast with you, talking through a lot of these horses. And one of the things Nick always points out every year about these horses that come over for the mile is there's two different types of Euros that they send over. There's the galloping type of Euro miler, and there's the turn of foot quickening milers. And it feels like, in his description, that Siskin, a really nice turn of foot, has an inside draw, should be able to get cover, save ground. And that's a horse that I think that I'll be trying to get alive to and build a lot of stuff around. And then Safe Voyage, another one that I'll be using. And I don't necessarily trust a lot of the Americans. I think Uni is a quality horse, and a horse that very proud to call her a turf champion in this country. But I just don't feel like she's had the same punch this year. She got a beautiful setup last time, and I worry that maybe she's just not the same animal she once was. And so I'm going to be leaning heavily on the Euros in this one.
You and me both. And I got a chance to clap eyes on some of these things this morning, including Siskin, who really impressed me. I liked his build, very athletic. My gut tells me going to be able to handle the type two turns. Kamiko, a very obvious one to use on form. I will say he did to me, I know he's got USA blood in there, but looked a little bit more galloping. I mean, I think you have to use on form, but not one I'm going to particularly trust or press. The one that I'm ending up putting on top in here, JK, that I'd suggest you have somewhere on your tickets is Lope y Fernandez. This one I saw coming around with the flotilla of O'Brien runners, did not look out of place. And I think this one has a look where running the two-turn mile might just be his thing. And you've talked before about Lope de Vega in mile USA turf races. This is one, this is a Lope de Vega I think should be on your tickets. And this one, unlike Tarabellum, who I think will almost surely be single-digit odds on figures and form, Lope Fernandez could legitimately be, even with the Tory up, 20-1 or higher. Especially if you're leaning Euro, I would not get knocked out of the Breeders' Cup mile by this one. So just another one to make sure you get on there. And one other, I'll just mention, oh, you go ahead, JK.
No, that's easy for me. That's easy enough for me. I'm from Texas. Love me some Fernandez.
I love it. And I'll tell you what, who also impressed me. I don't know if she's going to like, I don't know how she's going to feel about this ground. One master is just, she's just really good looking. And another, if you can afford it, I'd say maybe you try to get on there. I think if the USA wins this one, I will have sand kicked in my face. Let's talk about the Breeders' Cup Distaff. It goes as race number 10, JK. What do you want to do in here for your pick six? Can you get skinny? Are you going to try to split hairs between the big two and the top of the market? What's your approach?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to be pretty aggressive through Monomoy Girl. You got to try to find a single or somewhere to get single in these sequences. I think I'm going to try to be pretty aggressive there. I mean, her record speaks for itself. She's 12 for 14 in her career. One of those losses was a disqualification. She just doesn't like to get beat. She's fast. She's drawn outside. And I just think she's going to be tough to beat. They've been pointing to this all year. They kind of have had a less than inspiring campaign, but she's earned that. She earned the right to not have to show up for all those big races to point just for this one. I think she's going to be tough from the outside. I do think Ollie's Candy is interesting. I'm not crazy about her last three races, but I think it's arguable that her race four back in the Apple Blossom, the way that she performed that day, quite possibly might be the best distaff performance we've seen all year. The way she ran in that race, she ran extremely fast early, wasn't able to hold off CC, who is another horse I think is interesting in here if the big horse Montemore Girl doesn't show up. But I wouldn't ignore Ollie's Candy. Maybe the change in scenery could be what wakes Ollie's Candy up. If you get that performance from four back, she'll be right there at the end.
You mentioned CC. This is the one I think could potentially surprise in here at a price. You go back through the PPs, and I think there's excuses for the last several runs. Racetracks she didn't apparently like very well out in California, too close to the pace going the seven last time. And has you mentioned that potentially key bit of form in the Apple Blossom. I just love that run there. And I think you're right. If Ollie's Candy and CC run back to this, this might not be the match race that it appears to be on paper between Monomoy and Swiss Skydiver. Swiss Skydiver was absent from your remarks. She's going to take an awful lot of money in here. Are you actively against her? Or is she just a use? What's your approach?
Yeah, I think it's more of an actively against. You know, she's obviously going to take a lot of money and winning at the Preakness the way that she did. I think she did that. I think that performance is probably not as good as it looked. I think there's some things involved. I think maybe she was on the right place at the right time in terms of the racetrack. I also think that because Authentic was ridden differently than I think gets his best performance, I think that Preakness could be a little bit of a mirage. So I'm not going to fall for that. And she's got to face a real horse in Montemoy Girl. And I know she is proven to be better than I've always thought she would be, but you got to split hair somewhere, especially a horse that's going to take as much money as I think she will.
And I know that's typically your belief when you've got two big ones at the top of the market and you're going to use one. If there's a reason to not use the other, you leave her out. And then that allows you to continue to pick up some equity and maybe be able to include some of those longer shots like Ollie's Candy and CC in here. It's very brave. I mean, I do think Swiss Skydiver makes a ton of sense on figures and form, but I definitely respect the approach. Is part of it for you just trying to come up with a wagering strategy that makes sense in this race?
Yeah, look, if I was playing this race for my life and I just had to have the winner, I wouldn't necessarily be feeling like that was a smart decision to throw out a horse that just won the Preakness, a filly that just won the Preakness. But I think in a situation where all I'm really trying to do is create value, if I'm going to use one instead of two, that's twice as many combinations. You know, if my ticket was going to be $1,000 without Swiss Skydiver, if I use her, suddenly it's $2,000. So there's a lot of value there in being able to kind of dismiss that one horse and be able to single it another one.
I tried to go see her today, but she was like getting wrapped in the back, just regular stuff in the back of the stall. Didn't really get to clap eyes on her. Montemoy Girl did look the part, I have to say. She has improved a lot physically. She looked fine as a three-year-old. She looks really fine as a five-year-old. Still has some of those quirks looking around at everything, etc. But she looks powerful and ready to roll. And I don't want to lose any equity in my pick six if Montemoy Girl wins. I'm with you with her. And you know, I've got this thing for CC. We'll see if it gets borne out to be a good thing on Saturday. Let's talk about the Breeders' Cup Turf JK race number 11. Another spot where I think you can position it pretty safely as USA versus the world. Which side are you on?
Yeah, I'm going to go on the world side this time. Tarnawa is one that I think I'll probably be focusing on quite a bit. That'll be my pick in there as well. The fact that she ran so well on Arc Day and the conversation even came up that maybe she could have won the Arc, the performance that she had that day. And that's pretty high praise for this group, especially. Doesn't seem to be anything crazy good in here from the U.S. No bricks and mortar in this spot. Also, you know, if you're going to use an American, to me, it's Channelmaker. I think they kind of figured out what he wants to do. He wants to be put on the front end. Manny will do that with confidence, knowing that he could stay there for him. And then also, I think he likes a little cut in the ground. So I think he'll appreciate the surface that he should get come Saturday.
Good notes all. I'm reading your mail or you're reading mine on Tarnawa in here, JK. I really enjoyed getting the chance to see her in the flesh this morning too. And I love her body type for this. She's not overly big, but very powerfully built. You're not looking at a greyhound type Euro in Tarnawa. It really looks the part. The form this year is really, really strong. I think you can make that case that you're looking at Europe's best middle distance horse coming over here. Very strong in the betting markets in the UK. So I don't know. I'm wondering if we're going to get that 6-1 or not. I'd be tempted to say I might be playing her even if she gets bet down to the likes of 7-2. Nothing against Magical. Got to see her this morning. She looks great. We know she handles the bend. I think has to be on tickets. And Mogul, another one I feel like on form has to be used. I think it could be an Irish 1-2-3 in this spot. Of the three, I definitely, after seeing them in the flesh, prefer Tarwana and Magical to Mogul, but I'm not going to be getting beaten by a horse with Mogul's credentials in this year's Breeders' Cup turf. And I like your case for Channel Maker of potentially being the lone USA one to use. You think you might use all four of those, or are you going to try to get a little skinnier?
Yeah, I mean, I think Channel Maker is going to be more of a beat for me. I do feel like you mentioned the Euros kind of have this one over a barrel. From what I've understand and what I've kind of come to the conclusion about is Tarnawa and Mogul are the ones on form that I'm supposed to be leaning towards. Magical's the one that you could kind of start to question. But now with what you're telling me about how the horses have been looking, I guess there's a world in which I would try to be alive to all three of them. But I do want to have a little bit more through Tarnawa.
Yeah, I totally agree. That she's the press in this spot. Now we're going to move on to the Breeders' Cup Classic. We've got a ginormous purse on offer and even a little bit more in the mix for Authentic going for the Betmakers Bonanza bonus, having won the Haskell, the Kentucky Derby, and now trying to win the Classic. I have to say, he's not my top pick, but the more I look at the race, the more I do see a scenario where he just goes on with it in there and take some serious beating. Do you think, let's start with Authentic, do you think he has a chance to get this Betmakers Bonanza on Saturday?
Oh, I do think he does. I think that there's an idea that he possibly wants to go faster, and the slower pace in the Preakness was why he wasn't able to do what he did come Derby on Derby Day. So if that's true, then I think he's right there in the mix with these types of horses. He's going to have some pressure possibly, but I think that he'll be aggressively ridden and will likely find the front end unless someone else is on a kind of a kamikaze type mission. So I do think he's got a shot in here. I do think that he's the more likely winner than Tis the Law based on his post position and based on some of Tis the Law's antics in the past. I don't know if he necessarily doesn't want to be on the inside, but I don't know that he definitely does want to be on the inside. So there's at least a couple of questions there with Tis the Law.
All right, well, we'll come back to Tis the Law in a minute. There's your analysis of the three-year-olds. What's your analysis of this race as a whole? How many numbers do you want to be alive to in this pick six?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to be alive to my top pick, which is Tom Zita, Improbable, and Authentic. I'd like to be alive to those horses as A-types, maybe a little by my standards as a B-type. Tis the Law even possibly as a B-type. Here's what I'll say about kind of the top of this race for me is I really do think that Improbable is the most consistent horse of all of these horses. He's got some of the best performances. I loved his performances at a mile and a quarter. I loved his performances at a mile and an eighth. And the way that he ran in the Whitney was impressive as well. He went out towards the front end and kind of moderate fractions and did his thing. And that's why I've landed on Tom's the Top. Because I think Improbable is so good, I'm going to take that race in the Whitney where Tom Zita completely missed the break, was closing into that moderate pace, and was running at Improbable late. I thought his performance was impressive, and I think that Tom Zita's got some other impressive performances this year as well. I think he's going to be tough. I think he's going to be a better price than these other ones. And so as a top pick, I'll pick Tom Zita, but I'm going to be using Improbable and Authentic as well as A-types in my multi-race bets.
Let's talk a little bit more about Tom's Dita. My top pick as well, and I noticed just looking over some of the picks in our grid for our premium package over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com/BC and just looking out there on Twitter, seems like Tom's Dita is a whole lot of people's top pick in this race. What do you think we're going to get price-wise? Folks watching from the UK and Ireland can still lock in 7-1 on Tom's Dita. What price is he going to be on the day?
I think he'll. I'd be right around the morning line. Honestly, you got to think. You know, this isn't the game I'm the best at. But you got to think Tis the Law is going to still take a little bit of money. He's developed a pretty big following throughout his three-year-old year. He was the favorite in the Kentucky Derby. That doesn't tend to be forgotten very easily. Improbable obviously will be the favorite, going to take some money. Authentic as the Derby winner will probably take some money. And then Maximum Security, the old kind of the old pro of this situation here, I think he'll take some money as well, just based on his past performances and what he's done in his career. So I think that it's entirely possible that Tom Zatal will be kind of a wise guy type, but we'll still probably be able to get an okay price just because of all the other options that are in here.
That's what I've been thinking until I've seen everyone and their brother picking the horse. I really do like him in here. I think he's going to get a good trip. You already made an eloquent case for him. I probably don't really need to piggyback too much on it. I do need I do think I like Tis the Law more than you. He'd be my second pick in the race. I have similar concerns about the post, but boy, JK, I got to see him today. Now, it was not like the perfect way to see him. He was just walking his shed row with the sheet on, but this horse has presence. I mean, maybe I'm psyching myself out because he's so easy to recognize. So the fact that, like, you know, you just get this like moment of recognition, he's very classy. He has presence. He looks right at you. He's an intelligent horse. I did check back with our mutual friend, Acacia Courtney, who got to see him a little bit later when he was taking his bath, and confirmed that under the hood, he was looking in as good form as he'd looked ever, to her mind. And she confirmed that he'd grown up the way you'd expect a three-year-old to do later in the season. Based on the form that this guy has shown this year, if he's continued to improve as you'd expect a three-year-old to do, I think he's going to have benefited from skipping the Preakness. I've got to make him an A and a likely horse to run well. It's a fascinating race from a handicapping perspective. Let's go back to one you mentioned really quick, but neither of us really touched on extensively. Maximum Security seems like we're both leaning against. What are the odds that this one kicks sand in our face here?
I just don't really like him in here. I think he's kind of a lazy horse that he could kind of just deceive you a little bit at his races. He always looks like he's in trouble at the half mile pole, but he's a fighter, and he can, you know, he's a lazy horse in the morning and a lazy horse, I think, in parts of the race until he gets into a fight. Then he starts to kind of show up a little bit. I just don't necessarily trust that he's as good as he was when he was running for Jason Service. I think that he's been, you know, he's gotten his picture taken a couple times for Bob Baffert, but he's been beating horses that I don't necessarily consider high quality animals like he's going to be facing here today. You beat a horse like Midcourt, take the 101, Sharp Samurai, Higher Power. Those are all horses that I don't really hold in the same regard as horses like Authentic and Probable, Tis the Law, Tom Zatal. So I worry that he's going to be up against it in terms of who he's facing here.
We're going to loop back in a second, JK, to wrap things up with your best bet of the day and mine as well. But I do want to remind folks about this TwinSpires offer code promotion. Very simple. You got to opt into this one. So you go to the offers page on TwinSpires.com, or you can find it through your app. You may even get a push notification about it. Great opportunity. What I really like about this, and what I like about a lot of the promotions on TwinSpires, not just for new customers, but current account holders can take advantage as well of this Breeders' Cup bet back promotion. You get your bet back if your horse runs second or third in any race, Breeders' Cup Friday and Saturday, up to $20 back if you run second. And if your selection runs third, you can get $10 back. You do have to opt in. Check it out, TwinSpires.com or the TwinSpires app. One play, JK, on Breeders' Cup Day 2, this championship Saturday. If you could only make one play, what would it be?
Well, it's going to definitely be the pick six, but if you're talking about one horse, I'm torn a little bit between Tom Zatal. I think he's going to be good value in the race. We talked about him, but I'll give you another one. I like Oleksandra in the turf sprint. And it's really weird. I don't just normally like closers in turf sprints. I try to find some speed types. But this race doesn't necessarily have that blazing fast, stretch the field out type that usually wires these types of races. There's some fast horses, there's some tactical horses, but I feel like it's going to be kind of a bunched up like situation where they're all going to be kind of all in one spot. And I feel like Oleksandra's got the turn of foot that's going to be able to overcome that situation. I like her in this spot.
Give me Tarnawa in the Breeders' Cup turf. I think she still feels like she's a little bit underrated. And I also like about her that I have the feeling she might end up being an overlay on the tote as opposed to the prices they're going to be available with the bookies. That makes me feel like we're getting value with Tarnawa in this year's Breeders' Cup turf. And that's the way that I'm going to play it. All right, JK, we've gone through this pick six. Happy to get your thoughts on all this. I know you've got a ton of content elsewhere up on inthemoneypodcast.com. Folks can find us also on the Breeders' Cup Twitter page if you want to hear our thoughts on some of the races we didn't cover today on that undercard. JK gave you the one thought on the sprint, but there'll be more there too if you follow Breeders' Cup on Twitter. And also keep checking back to the Twin Spires Twitter feed as well, as we've got more content coming up with our buddy Ed DeRosa over the course of the next few days. That's going to do it. We'll get to the thank yous. Thank you, JK. Thanks to our friends at Twin Spires. Thanks to our friends at Betting on Content, who do such a great job producing these videos. Most of all, thanks to everybody out there for tuning in, whether you're viewing or listening. Hit us up on Twitter if you have any questions. He's at UT Big Hair. I'm at Looms Boldly. This show's been a production of the Betting on Content team and a little bit of help from us over at In the Money Media. And you're playing the Breeders' Cup this weekend. I sure hope you win all your photos.